you inherit being in the media. And I got to say, the network is just doing too good a job to not. Our day's coming. I have faith. I do.
Oh, I do too. It's gonna happen. What are we talking about? Gonna? It already is happening.
Well, it's a good point.
There's nobody out there that could do what we do, and I'm so proud to be. This is that time of year, and so let me say it loud and say it proud. I am so proud to be affiliated with you, Peter Godbold. I am thrilled to death and humbled to be affiliated with you, Mark Levine. It is my pleasure and my privilege to be affiliated with you, John Fox. And please never doubt
you, Bob.
It. So
right back at you.
We've taken another hour of people's lives and done with it things that they'll never get back. By golly, but we are so grateful to them as well for the time that they share with us. And so,
they fell asleep, Bob. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Here's the late great Lowell George reminding you too.
This is the Quality News Network. New Orleans City Council members unanimously approved a controversial plan to tear down 4,500 public housing units damaged by Hurricane Katrina. A crowd of demonstrators tried to get into today's meeting inside New Orleans City Hall, but were kept out by local police using pepper spray and stun guns. Legal challenges to the proposal are pending. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is suing the federal government over its decision not to allow the state's current plan to reduce greenhouse gas vehicle emissions. President Bush just signed a new car emission bill yesterday, but Governor Schwarzenegger says he wants better for California. Meantime, the White House wants a dual strategy to combat global warming. According to President Bush this morning, a two-pronged strategy is needed, bring other countries to this table, and develop a national plan. Bush says he opposes the Kyoto Protocol because China is not a participant. Mr. Bush says a national plan is needed, but he won't compromise the American standard of living. A year-long battle over the federal budget has come to an end. President Bush both admonished and praised Congress for passing a $556 billion spending plan. A CNN poll released today shows the top three Democratic presidential candidates in a dead heat in Iowa 2 weeks before the caucuses. And leading the Republican slate, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, followed by former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani is in third place. Congressman Tom Tancredo dropped out of the race today for the Republican nomination and threw his support to rival Mitt Romney. The House Intelligence Committee issued a subpoena for Jose Rodriguez, the former CIA official who ordered the destruction of secret interrogation videotapes of two terror suspects. Rodriguez will face the committee on the 16th of next month. Meantime, the CIA says it will turn over documents to Congress about the destructions of those tapes made during interrogations of Al-Qaeda terror suspects. The Pentagon has announced plans to increase the Army by 74,000 soldiers, adding six new combat brigades to major bases in Colorado, Georgia, and Texas. And a leading South African prosecutor says there's enough evidence to charge the country's newest president-elect with corruption. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Huell Hauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking. So what do you look for when you decide where you're going to put all your millions?
Well, I haven't printed up enough to put it in the bank yet, but I guess for convenience, and pretty much it's like a grocery market. You get to meet the people there, and you build a little rapport with some of them.
You know, it's a local bank, but it's part of a network of local banks that give you big bank services.
Everything that I need as far as banking is concerned, they have it. Online banking is great for me. So I just like the services that they offer.
You ever taken your dog Cindy to the bank?
As a matter of fact, when I went to open my account, she was with me.
Ah!
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a horse come through one of these days. We got a lot of cowboys come in and out of here, too.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
The U.S. Commerce Department reports that gross domestic product grew at 4.9% pace last quarter. They say that performance is especially impressive given the current state of the country's housing market. The U.S. economy surged over the summer at its fastest pace in 4 years, but then lagged in the last 3 months of this year under the housing and credit crunch. But a new rise in jobless claims indicates that the labor market is softening. FedEx reported lower quarterly profit. Company officials say higher fuel costs and the weak U.S. economy are to blame. The maker of BlackBerry smartphones reports the company's third quarter profit more than doubled in the third quarter. That's due to strong demand by consumers and businesses. Research in Motion Limited earned $370.5 million, or 65 cents a share, compared to 31 cents a share from the third quarter 2006. Tribune Company sold for $8.2 billion today. Its sale closed after an 8.5-month delay to secure final approval and financing. Light sweet crude oil trading at $91.06 a barrel, gold at $803.20 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 38 points to end at 13,245, NASDAQ up nearly 40 points, the S&P 500 up 7. And there's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Brief technical problem with the connection. Please stand by for All Foxed Up.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
right.
11,
and most of
11,
these
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. Or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. No good deed goes unpunished. After a wonderful horn section, John has begun to experience some connection problems from his location there in Sydney. And as a consequence, we're no-go for Foxed Up tonight. This is, of course, a Thursday. What I'd like to do, however, if you're already listening, please don't turn away, because tonight was Billy Shear's night, and it's a special Beatles Christmas version. So what I'm going to do here is take a moment and get everything set up. If nothing else, I want you to be able to hear, and I think John would approve, to be able to hear Billy's segment for this Thursday night, this Christmas edition, Beatles Christmas edition Billy Shear's music for this pre-Christmas. So, without further ado, what did I do with it? I had it there. Ah, there it is. Without further ado, here's Billy Shear's music. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
From 1963 through 1969, the Beatles produced a series of flexi-disc Christmas records for their fan club. These records remain unreleased on CD to this day. The 1963 disc was available to British fan club members and reissued to the American fan club in 1964. These records are very rare and command a good price in collector circles. The 1963 disc was recorded the very same day the Beatles recorded I Want to Hold Your Hand to Wax. So take a listen to a piece of rock and roll history.
Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, as the slow ray round about, deep and crispy, brightly showed the boot last night on the musty cruel. Henry Hall and David Lloyd, Betty Grable too.
Hello, this is John speaking with his voice. We're all very happy to be able to talk to you like this on this little bit of plastic. This record reaches you at the end of a really gear year for us, and it's all due to you. When we made our first record on Parlophone towards the end of 1962, we hoped everybody would like what we'd already been our type of music for several years already. But we had no idea of all the gear things in store for us. It all happened, really, when Please Please Me became a number one hit, and after that, well, Court of Limey's Heather No. Our biggest thrill of the year, well, I suppose it must have been topping the bill at the London Palladium, and then, only a couple of days later, being invited to take part in the Royal Variety Show. This time last year, we were all dead chuffed because Love Me Do got into the top 20, and we can't believe, really, that so many things have happened in between already. Just before I pass you over to Paul, I'd like to say thank you to all the Beatle people who have written to me during the year, and everyone who sent me gifts and cards for my birthday, which I'm trying to forget, in October. I'd love to reply personally to everyone, but I just haven't enough pens. In the meantime, Gary Crimble to you, Gary Mimble to you, Getty Babel, dear Christmas, happy birthday, me too.
This is Paul here. Everything that John said goes for me too, especially the bit about birthday cards and apostles, because all our homes and offices got stacks of mail last year.
Ow!
Well, it was my birthday. Anyway, we're all dead pleased by the way you've treated us in 1963. And we'll try to do everything we can to please you with the type of songs we write and record next year. Oh, yeah. Somebody asked us if we still like Jelly Babies. Well, we used to like them. In fact, we loved them. And we said so in one of the papers, you see. Ever since then, we've been getting them in boxes, packets and crates. Anyway, we've gone right off Jelly Babies, you see. But we still like Peppermint Creams and Chocolate Drops and Donny Mitchell's and all that sort of thing, don't
we? Yes, yes, oh yes.
Well, lots of people asked us what we enjoy best, concert and television or recording. We like doing stage shows because, you know, it's great to hear an audience enjoying themselves. But the thing we like best, I think so anyway, is going into the recording studio.
Yeah,
lots
we enjoy that
love
very
that,
kindly.
To make new records. Which is what we've been doing all day before we started on this special message. Well, what we like to hear most is one of our songs, you know, taking shape in a recording studio, one of the ones what John and I have written. And then listening to the tapes afterwards to hear how it all worked out, you see. Well, I'm running over my time and people are telling me to stop.
Stop shouting those animals.
I'll finish now with it. Wishing everyone happy Crimble and a Merry New Year, and especially all the ones who paid the subscription.
Ja, das wird und danke schön und den Christmon even. Ja, den Christmon either schon. Ja, das wird wunderschön, boy.
Danke schön.
Yeah, Ringo. Hello, Ringo here. As you know, I was the last member to join the Beatles. I started to play drums in the group 1962. I've been a couple of other groups.
Oh, just wish the people merry, happy. Go on, for Christmas.
Merry, happy New Year. And folks, happy Christmas and May everything you wish be granted.
Singers Wenceslas, King Wenceslas.
King Wenceslas.
Well, good King Wenceslas last looked down on the feast of Stephen. When the snow was on the ground, deep and crisp and even.
Thank you, Ringo. We'll phone you. I'm George Harrison. Nobody else has said anything yet about our fan club secretaries, Anne Collingham and Betty, you know, Rose. Not to mention Frida Kelly in Liverpool.
Get out, Frida!
So on behalf of us all, I'd just like to say a great big thank you to Anne, Bettina and Frida for all the hard work they've done. And we just hope you can go on pleasing you for a long time. Because it's your reaction to our records that really matters. And I'd just like to say, brightly was the shone that night, though the winter cruel, when a pork pie came inside, gathering winter cruel.
Rudolph the reindeer had a very shiny nose. When everybody told him,
Mickey the red-nosed negro had a very shiny nose.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Now here's a Christmas song recorded on the 1967 Beatles Fan Club message disc called Christmas Time Is Here Again.
It's a Blanzy remix to page 444.
Christmas.
party here, I'd just like to wish you everything you wish yourselves for Christmas.
This is John Lennon saying on behalf of the Beatles, have a very happy Christmas and a good new year.
George Harrison speaking. I'd like to take this opportunity of wishing a very Merry Christmas, listeners everywhere.
This is Ringo Starr, and I'd just like to say Merry Christmas and a really Happy New Year to all listeners.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
And thank you, Billy Shears, and thank you all for joining us for this abbreviated version of All Foxed Up. This, well, it's now Friday, the 21st of December, 2007. Everybody have a wonderful morning or evening or, in John's case, tomorrow. And we'll talk to you tomorrow evening sometime. Sound good? Sounds good. Peace.
times is different than it was when we first filed. When we first filed in February of 2002, one of my co-counsel, who was based in New Orleans, received a death threat at home when his name was appeared in the newspaper associated with this case. We don't get that kind of recrimination anymore. So the narrative is changing, but it takes a long time for, for the moral ship to right itself, as it were.
Do you think that the support for such measures is out of a convoluted sense of patriotism about supporting the leader, or do they think in supporting this that they get something out of it? Do they think they get more security? Do they think that they're on the right side? Do they think that the communist or the terrorist or whomever is going to be in worse shape because of it?
Yeah. I think it's a combination, certainly. It's not convoluted at all. Every now and again, if my name appears in the paper or something, I'll get these unsolicited emails or angry voicemails on my machine accusing me of being a traitor and that I should be prosecuted for treason or, you know, removed from the country or worse. People think that during times like that, and I fully understand it. I respect the right of folks to have this kind of passionate reaction. And it's not uncommon. It happens during all these periods of perceived crisis that there is a sense in which you have to rally around the president and his policies, and that there is a sense that dissent is equivalent to disloyalty. That's just, you have to contend with that. It'll change in time. It'll just take a long time, that's all.
Have you had the opportunity to confront someone in person on this?
Oh, sure. I speak about these. If I'm invited to go speak somewhere, I do. And I have often had people stand up in the audience and, you know, sometimes they're nice about it. Sometimes they'll say, you know, I respect what you're doing, but I think that you're making a mistake and you're giving aid and comfort to the enemy. Just
right.
General Ashcroft said early on after 9/11. And some people are angrier.
We're talking with Joseph Margolies. He's the author of Guantanamo and the Abuse of Presidential Power, and we will be back with more with him on the status of Guantanamo and how it might change right after these messages. Stay tuned. You're listening to America Back on Track.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher and you tell her you're too tired to look for it, I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
We're back, America Back on Track. And if you want more information about what we're discussing, you have but to go to our website, qnnamerica.com, and we have links to, for instance, Joseph Margolyes' book, Guantanamo and the Abuse of Presidential Power. Joseph, during the early years of the Bush administration, I would encounter people from other countries and would ask them if the people in their countries were able to distinguish between the American people and the Bush administration. And they quickly said, oh, yes, oh, yes. After the 2004 elections, that wasn't as enthusiastic. What was your experience in Italy?
People are mystified. They just find it bewildering. There is a sense of disillusionment, I think. Adults in Europe now grew up post-war, where immediately post-World War II late 40s, 50s, I mean, people remember vividly the Marshall Plan. They know what the Marshall Plan was. And there was a great sense of promise that the United States represented. And the sense of disillusionment, not just from things like Guantanamo and not just from the reaction to 9/11, Iraq, of course, is an extraordinarily powerful source of anger, but they are linked. And it is a sense it is interesting that the title of this program is America Back on Track. There's a sense that this is not the America that they thought they were allies with, that it has gotten off track, and it's they think of it as very dangerous. It's a very dangerous thing.
Do you think that there is a chance that after January 21st, 2009, Guantanamo will simply be shut down?
Yes, there is a chance. The lesson of history in the United States is that once in power, Democrats are as fond of a robust executive and as reluctant to appear soft on crime or communism or terror or anything like that as the Republicans ever were. So I don't think that it will change overnight. I think some candidates are probably more apt to be thoughtful about this than others, but I don't expect that simply a Democratic administration would change all the Bush administration's fondness for a strong executive branch.
Well, that's a nice thought, isn't it? Good
yeah,
Lord.
Yeah.
And then we have Romney over on the other side who's saying he wants to double the size of Guantanamo.
Yeah.
I don't understand how these people can confront our legacy, our shining city on the hill aspect of our foundation issues of justice, so, well, not even cavalierly, but they're poisoning it.
Well, I mean, I saw when he said that, and that's just idiocy. No one you're just pandering if you say things like that. No one credibly believes that Guantanamo is anything other than a mistake. No one in any position of power anymore. I really bend over backwards to give them the benefit of the doubt in my treatment of it, and a lot of people on the left accuse me of being overly soft on them. But I believe they opened Guantanamo with good intentions, thinking that a different group of people would be there than who they eventually caught. The tragedy is they didn't realize the mistake when it was shining at them in the face and everybody was telling them, this is not who we have here, these methods are ineffective, and so on. But by now, the message has gotten through, and no one thinks it's a good idea. And for him to say something as irresponsible as, not only is it a good idea, it ought to double in size, it's just pandering. But politics, when it reduces to that, you just want to go take a shower and wash yourself clean of it. It's just hideous.
Well put. Congress passed the Military
Commissions Act.
Yeah. Where does that leave us? Is that going to be a challenged in court and overturned?
Well, it's being challenged. One of the cases that was litigated just a few days ago argued about the Guantanamo detainees in early December is on the constitutionality of the attempt by the Military Commission Act to suspend the writ of habeas corpus. And to deny these guys the right to challenge their detentions in court. And we expect that we will prevail in that challenge. So at least a piece of the Military Commission Act will be thrown out, we hope, within a few months.
And that would be on the basis of getting rid of habeas corpus as unconstitutional?
Right. That's right.
It was such a scandal that Congress even passed that. Why hasn't Congress now, under Democratic leadership, done something like cut off funds?
Well, you know, that's what I was saying, right? I mean, I remember after the elections, one of the very first things that they said is that we were going to cut off funds for Guantanamo. But affecting that sort of change always was going to be very, very difficult. You got to remember the so-called Democratic Revolution that brought in a lot of Democrats in the midterm elections was really a very centrist response. These are not, with notable exceptions, with important exceptions, these are not progressives who are in office. These are not people who are strong on civil liberties, particularly for civil liberties for foreign nationals at a place like Guantanamo. And, you know, when push comes to shove, it's always easy to skimp on their interest and give the president, you know, renew things like the Patriot Act and give the president what he wants on these things.
Or the FISA issue. Yeah, I interviewed many of these people, actually, many of the challengers in 2006, and I didn't find them to be particularly progressive, but I also thought that even moderates, let alone some Republicans, would be less likely to support the Bush administration per se and might value our Constitution, but I guess I was mistaken.
Look, we can't even get a bill passed, at least in both houses, that says there's no more ambiguity here. Waterboarding is illegal.
Yeah.
You can't strap a person to a board, raise his feet above his head, wrap cellophane around his face, and put him underwater, or pour water on his face to create the sensation, an apparently overwhelming sensation, that he's drowning. What? Federal law doesn't allow it. We can't even get that bill passed. We can't even get the U.S. attorney to be forced to answer this question, or the attorney general. Is it illegal or isn't it? So you can't really expect too much from them then.
Well, I very much appreciate your guarded optimism. Joseph Margulies, author of Guantanamo and the Abuse of Presidential Power, thank you very much for being with us today on America Back on Track.
Not at all. Take care.
Most elucidating, quite regretful. We will be back with more right after these messages. Stay tuned. You're listening to America Back on Track on the Quality News Network.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
Keep current on events during the day with the finest newscasts in the country right here on the Quality News Network. The QNN newscasts are delivered at the top of the hour from 7 a.m. Eastern through 6 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday. QNN delivers almost three times the number of stories you'd hear on mainstream networks or public radio. Plus, QNN gives you the most comprehensive business coverage of any general news source. The QNN Headline News Service is for everyone who wants to stay on top of the news. We report national and international news stories, but we leave out the political slant and unnecessary bells and whistles, unlike so many other news media organizations. Hear the latest news from the Quality News Network online at qualitynewsnetwork.com or call your local news radio station and tell them you want them to carry QNN newscasts, the finest in the country.
We're back, America Back on Track, and joining us now, just off of her sick bed, is Dr. Rita Kaczynski. She is with the Community Hospital of the Monterey Peninsula. How are you feeling, Rita?
Hey, I'm hanging in there, man. You know, I got that awful cold that's going around.
Oh.
Lots of hand washing.
Well, let's, we'll get to the cold thing in a second. There is something called MRSA. What is MRSA?
MRSA is the abbreviation for methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. And you say, well, what is that? Well, basically, it's a form of Staph aureus, but it is actually just resistant to certain antibiotics that we normally treat the regular Staph aureus for, specifically methicillin, which is why we call it methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. All it means is it's, we can't use the usual Keflex or amoxicillin and those sort of antibiotics that we used to, but there are other antibiotics that are out there that can treat it. So that's the technical definition of what MRSA is.
Is this prevalent?
Staph is a very prevalent bacteria in all forms of Staph aureus, and when I say Staph, I'm talking of Staph aureus. Staph aureus is a common bacteria that's carried on the skin or nose of about 25 to 30% of people in the country or anywhere in the world, and methicillin resistant is about 1% of that. So it is actually pretty common.
And it's an infection, right?
Not necessarily. You can be colonized with Staph and not be infected. It means it just lives on your skin or in your nose, and it doesn't cause disease.
So, essentially, as with other potential infections, the healthier you are, the less likely you are for it to develop into an infection?
That is true in most cases. There are, like any other bacteria, there are certain strains of bacteria that can cause disease even in healthy people. It depends on how virulent that strain of bacteria is. But usually, generally speaking, if you keep yourself pretty healthy, you're not going to get bad infections with bad things.
Now, you were talking, you've had a cold, and how is a cold different from, for instance, a Staph infection?
Well, colds are generally viruses. Colds are caused by different viruses, adenoviruses, rhinoviruses. They tend to be more prevalent in the winter, fall months, probably because of different weather conditions, more crowding, people are closer together, so we tend to pass them around more. Staph aureus is something that's sort of there all the time. Like I said, you know, about 25 to 30% of people are colonized with it. They carry it around, and the way it gets spread from person to person is generally by contact with a person that has it.
How about coughing and sneezing people? Is that contact? Is it?
Well, coughing and sneezing, it can be contact if you touch your nose and then touch something else and then pick it up from that either the doorknob or whatever. That's how you spread viruses. It's also how you can spread Staph.
So should people who have colds simply stay home?
Well, I think in an ideal world that can happen. I think most people can't always stay home when they have a cold, such as myself, because there's people that need me. But I think to reduce your transmission rate, if you do cough and sneeze, you should either use a Kleenex or a cough or sneeze into your elbow. Definitely do a lot of hand washing. If you're near someone that is, you know, very debilitated, you should probably even wear a mask.
You mentioned the hand washing before. What is the value of washing hands? Well, if you touched your nose, for instance, then you would have germs on your fingers, so you want to always wash your hands or frequently to reduce the potential of spreading it?
Absolutely. That's the single most important thing we can do to reduce the spread of anything, whether it's viruses or bacteria. And I realize sinks aren't always available. That's why the little hand sanitizers, the little alcohol-based hand sanitizers are really nice to have. If you can't get to a sink and you know if you've sneezed into your hand, you can use your hand sanitizer and then you're golden.
Now, if you have this infection and you touch your nose and you pick up a telephone, you hang up the telephone, how long after you've touched the telephone or the germs, is that the correct term?
Right, germs. I mean, that's a general term for all kinds of things
so
that produce disease.
If you've put those germs on the telephone handset, how long are those germs going to be dangerous or spreadable?
Well, it depends on the germ, actually. If it's a real labile virus, like a lot of the cold viruses, it can be up to 7 or 8 hours. More resistant bacteria that are hardier can last up to many, many days. So it's always good to maybe wipe down the phone if you've touched it before someone else can use it.
I hadn't realized that these things could live outside of the body for that long.
Yep.
What else do we do to keep ourselves healthy? I have this idea, particularly when people are flying, everyone should be wearing masks and maybe gloves drenched in alcohol.
Yeah, I know. It's well, I think the important thing, especially when you're flying or traveling, especially at the holiday season now, we tend to get really stressed, so people are more susceptible to getting infections, obviously, from other people, and, you know, we're in close quarters. Best thing you can do is make sure you get plenty of rest if you can. Stay really well hydrated. Water, 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 water. You know, alcohol tends to dehydrate you. Caffeine tends to dehydrate you. So I say water, water, water. Drink lots of water. Try to take some vitamin C to boost your immune system, or drink some orange juice. You know, try to keep levels of that up. And like I said, try to, you know, do good hand washing when you're around, or carry a little hand sanitizer around with you. And I think those three things would be great, as well as trying to eat relatively healthy. I know it's difficult at the holiday time. But try to eat enough fruits and vegetables and get plenty of rest.
Why does stress make one more susceptible?
Because stress releases certain substances in your body, like cortisols, that actually depress your immune system. So when you're stressed, you're actually more susceptible to getting all kinds of things.
And this is certainly the season for stress.
It certainly is, and I think that's why we see so many more infections around the holidays, because people are stressed, and, you know, in addition to all the other things I mentioned earlier, the close quarters, et cetera.
Rita, I was brought up in Massachusetts, and those winters were very, very dry. We had a humidifier in one of the rooms. Mm-hmm. Does a humidifier help keep the nasal passages and things more healthy, or does it contribute to passing around germs?
No, I think if you're in a really dry environment, humidity helps because it keeps your mucous membranes moist enough, because your mucous membranes help fight infection. There's little cilia in there, and if they're working properly, that also helps clear bacteria. So if you're in a very dry environment, it's always a good idea to try to have a humidifier around.
Do you have any other particular advice during the holidays? Is it, I mean, for instance, we tend to have an increase in our consumption of sugar.
Yes.
does that bring down our resistance?
It doesn't so much bring down your resistance, but if you're eating more sweet things and not eating, you know, a really good healthy diet, you know, that can affect you on some level.
You mentioned drinking a lot of water. Is that rehydrates the sinuses and keeps things flowing through the system?
Absolutely. And plus it keeps you healthy, and generally speaking, most people don't drink enough water. Our body's 80% water, and water is incredibly important just to keep our bodies healthy just any time of the year.
You mentioned also vitamin C. Are more vitamins and naturopathic pieces useful?
I think as far as like the naturopathic stuff, I think if it helps you, it's okay. I mean, there's no real studies out there that show that homeopathic, naturopathic things, you know, will prevent you from getting sick. There are some studies that show that vitamin C helps the immune system. So that, I always recommend that. People, as long as they keep themselves healthy, I think whatever works for them.
Well, Rita Kuczynski, I hope you get healthier soon.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And thank you for being with us today on America Back on Track.
Thank you. You have a great holiday.
You too. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back with Seat Notes right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Brian Gingrich of Monterey Mattress Company. The only way to travel is by using the very best, and the very best in a major sleep product is any mattress from Monterey Mattress Company. Literally serving all parts of the world, we have been building the finest latex foam and innerspring mattresses for well over 20 years. Using our world-famous hotels as a measuring stick, you'll more often hear the name Monterey Mattress, as we supply over 100 resort hotels in this area. Far exceeding industry standards, these mattresses are available to you at factory prices. In addition to the local recognition, Monterey Mattress Company has been shipping beds worldwide to the many visitors who have experienced a great night's sleep here. This is the ultimate endorsement enjoyed by very few businesses. Monterey Mattress Company. We simply build the best, whether for your home or world-renowned resorts. Visit us today at 1714 Contra Costa in Sand City or on the World Wide Web at ModereyMattress.com. Sleep like a panda bear.
Attention homeowners, this is Sharon Law Tucker. You've heard me talk about various mortgage types over the past several months. Now I want to talk to you about reverse mortgages. I believe that quality of life and having options is extremely important. The biggest concern for most seniors today is to stay in their homes, yet they are living on an income that can no longer meet their basic living needs. Through reverse mortgage loan products, I can help senior homeowners stay in their homes, get tax-free cash for any purpose, including monthly income, home improvements, medical care, travel, and much more. I can help you remove the stress and worry from your life, take the burden of responsibility from your children, and enjoy a better quality of life. If you are a senior homeowner, call me today for a free copy of the Reverse Mortgage Handbook. I'll send it to you at no cost, no obligation. Phone me, Sharon Law Tucker, at the Reverse Mortgage Center, 831-809-1705, 831-809-1705. Pacific Home Lending is licensed by the California DRE, license number 01254837.
Before past the hour and time for seat notes, I did something I haven't done in years last week. I watched a network television newscast. The reason why I don't watch them is because they are a great waste of time. While they do report on some of the major stories of the day, they are more focused on parading a continual stream of visuals than they are about keeping their audience current on events. And it's gotten worse than it was even just a few years ago. On the ABC Sunday Evening News about 10 days ago, the young man, standing rather than sitting, delivered headlines, reeling through four of the stories he would be reporting, and he squandered a minute doing it. Hey, you've only got a half hour to tell us what's going on. Don't waste our time. Their lead story was about the shootings in Colorado. They spent 5 minutes reporting it, prolonging the story with some background information on the megachurch organized by the disgraced Ted Haggard. The history was insignificant. It had nothing to do with the shootings. The next story was about Oprah Winfrey campaigning for Barack Obama in South Carolina and how Hillerod had sent her husband to try and restoke her flagging campaign. They spent 2.5 minutes doing show and tell with Oprah, telling us nothing about policy or politics or polls. They followed this with a Joe Biden sound cut calling for a special prosecutor to look into the destruction of the CIA torture tapes. After that, a 2-minute report on the scrubbing of the shuttle flight. Most of it was background, of course. Then there was the writer strike going on, still going on, people worried. More than 2 minutes spent on a story that hadn't really changed that day. That and a lengthy tease of what was coming up brought us to 14 minutes into the broadcast. There then followed 3 feature reports which had no relevance whatsoever to the day's events. One was a travelogue on the Yangtze River. A second was about children gift programs having to sift through danger-listed toys. And a third was about whether or not shopping mall Santas should be fat or should trim down. No, I'm not kidding. In total, the broadcast ran for 29 minutes, more than 7 of which, a quarter of the whole broadcast, were commercials. The 5 news stories they covered could have been reported comprehensively in 2 minutes instead of 13 minutes. Their sins were both filling time with features and not covering the news that needed to be told. This is a very dangerous, complex world we live in. 3/4 of Americans believe our country is heading in the wrong direction. Surely there is more to tell that is germane to our lives that can inform us about the candidates so we can choose bright, confident leaders to get our country back on track. It used to be that the network newscasts were the daily chroniclers of our lives. Today they deliver more distraction than elucidation, more gloss and pathos than substance. And that's Seat Notes for December the 20th. Thanks very much to Joseph Margulies, author of Guantanamo and the Abuse of Presidential Power, and to Rita Kaczynski of the Community Hospital of the Monterey Peninsula, talking about staph infections and what we can do to stay healthier during this time of the year when many people are stressed out and have colds and other things due to weather and family. Join us again tomorrow and every weekday at noon Pacific for more of America Back on Track here on the Quality News Network. Thank you for being with us today. I'm Tony Seaton. ¶¶
For an insider's look at quality news coverage, be sure to read two of the latest books by award-winning journalist and author Tony Seaton. The Quality Interview and Don't Mess with the Press transport the reader into the world of journalism, including the ups and downs of network news coverage and what it's really like reporting the important events we see happening every day around the world. Don't Mess with the Press is an intriguing and engaging chronicle of Tony's early career, beginning with his start as a copy boy for ABC News back in the 1970s, to working his way up to become producer of network news interviews for Barbara Walters. The Quality Interview is the definitive guide to the art of the interview. Learn interviewing basics and much more, including how to get crucial information out of even the toughest interview. For more on Don't Mess with the Press and The Quality Interview by Tony Seaton, visit our website at www.qualitynewsnetwork.com. For an insider's look at quality news coverage, be sure to read two of the latest books by award-winning journalist and author Tony Seaton. The Quality Interview and Don't Mess with the Press transport the reader into the world of journalism, including the ups and downs of network news coverage and what it's really like reporting the important events we see happening every day around the world. Don't Mess with the Press is an intriguing and engaging chronicle of Tony's early career, beginning with his start as a copy boy for ABC News back in the 1970s, to working his way up to become producer of network news interviews for Barbara Walters. The Quality Interview is the definitive guide to the art of the interview. Learn interviewing basics and much more, including how to get crucial information out of even the toughest interview. For more on Don't Mess with the Press and The Quality Interview by Tony Seaton, visit our website at www.qualitynewsnetwork.com.
You're listening to KRML, 1410 AM, Carmel, California. The news from the Quality News Network is next.
This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. military announced it has discovered what appears to be an Al-Qaeda torture center surrounded by mass graves in a region north of Baghdad. Nearby soldiers uncovered a major cache of weapons. East of Baghdad today, a suicide bomber blew himself up in a crowd of civilians. One U.S. soldier was killed. 10 civilians were wounded. Two residents of Great Britain have been released from Guantanamo Bay prison, but were immediately tagged for extradition to Spain to face terrorism charges. Both men are accused of being Al-Qaeda members and were released only after intense negotiations between the U.S. and Britain. The Pentagon has announced plans to increase the Army by 74,000 soldiers, adding 6 new combat brigades to major bases in Colorado, Georgia, and Texas. The White House wants a dual strategy to combat global warming. According to President Bush, a two-pronged strategy is needed. Bring other countries to the table. This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. military announced it has discovered what appears to be an Al-Qaeda torture center surrounded by mass graves in a region north of Baghdad. Nearby soldiers uncovered a major cache of weapons. East of Baghdad today, a suicide bomber blew himself up in a crowd of civilians. One U.S. soldier was killed. 10 civilians were wounded. Two residents of Great Britain have been released from Guantanamo Bay prison, but were